doing things a little different tonight. We're going to save part of our praise and worship for a little later on. And I'm going to preach right now. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm 95, verse 1 will be our text for the evening. Psalm 95, verse 1 and 1 through 5. And this is our theme scripture for our 10 weeks of worship that we're doing. And Psalms 95, verse 1 says, O come, O come, let us worship. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Yes, I put the worship in there. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we approach Your throne of grace, coming tonight just to praise You, to thank You, Lord, for the privilege of worship, to thank You, Lord Jesus, for giving Your life upon Calvary for our sins, that through Your sacrifice we have eternal life. Lord, help us now to focus our hearts and our minds upon You. Lord, we want to worship You in spirit and in truth, and I pray that You'll remove the distractions. Put Satan far from here, that we may truly commune and fellowship with You tonight, for You are worthy of our attention and our praise. Lord, I love You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let us worship. That sounds good, but did we come tonight to do that very thing? Did you come tonight to worship? Amen. Good. Because the invitation has gone out. Oh, come, let us worship. How are we going to do that? Well, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing to the Lord. And I want you to notice that phrase in the text. Let us sing to whom? The Lord. You can't sing to the Lord and to the person who's sitting beside you. Okay? Now the reason I say that is because everybody's always afraid the person sitting beside them or in front of them or behind them is going to hear them. So we're going to do something a little different tonight, okay? I want you to look at the person beside you and say, I love you, but I'm not singing to you. Okay? We've cleared that up. We love one another, but we're not singing to one another. We're singing to the Creator of the universe. We're singing, lifting up our voice in praise to Him. And now because you're not singing to the to people around you, you don't have to worry about what you sound like to them. Okay? It's okay if you're a little bit off key. It's okay if you don't have the most beautiful voice in the church. All that's okay. You're not singing to anybody except to the Lord. Now, you do need to worry about how you sing to Him, right? We do. So, if we're going to sing to the Lord in the right way, back to the text, let us shout joyfully. The first thing we're going to have to do is get a volume control. Too often, we half-heart the song, afraid that people around us are going to hear. Well, if the people around us are not hearing, the chances are we're not putting enough into it that God's listening to us anyway, right? So that word shout, it literally means to shout joyfully with a blast. And it's referring to the singing, all right? It's not just yell. It's to give a blast of song to the Lord. Let our song blast out. So the first thing, as we worry or concern ourselves with the kind of song that we're going to present to the Lord, we've got to concern ourselves with the volume, okay? Let's shout. The King James says, let's make a joyful noise, right? But it's all connected to that singing. Open up and let her fly. Amen? That's the challenge. If we're going to worship, we're going to have to open up and let her fly. We're also not only going to have to worry about the volume, we're going to have to worry about the attitude. It says, let us sing joyfully. Right? As a matter of fact, that word, the way they translate it, that word sing, it means to produce a song in response to our joy. Like we would say, I'm going to sing because of the joy that is within me. Right? And verse 2 also says, come into His presence with thanksgiving. So we have this attitude of worship. Not only are we going to be loud, and Brother Dale, when you get back up here to lead us, we're going to be loud. Right? Because we're not worried about what anybody else thinks. We're worried about hearing what God, or worried about what God hears. Right? So, and the second thing we're going to be is we're going to be joyful. Do you have anything to be joyful and to give thanks about tonight? Amen. We do, don't we? I mean, we don't have to look very hard. All we have to do is just stop and think about what God has done. Have you ever done something for your children and they act as though they didn't appreciate it? How did it make you feel? Didn't you want to just grab them and say, don't you know what I've done for you? Don't you know the gift that I bought you cost money? Don't you know that the time I've taken with you has been difficult? Don't you know what I put into what you're enjoying right now? And for them to just sit there and like, big deal. It's worrisome. It's bothersome. Well, we're the children of God. Everything that we have comes from God. The air we breathe was created by God. The health that we enjoy was given by God. The food that we eat, the home that we live, the money we have, everything has been given by God. Our children are a gift from God. Grandchildren, friends, parents, everything that we enjoy that we could stop and think about is a gift of God. Even Victory Missionary Baptist Church has been given to us by God. And listen, folks, I appreciate our church family. I love you. And I do my best not to take this church for granted. But the greatest thing is the salvation that Jesus bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary. Because He died for me, I'm going to live for Him. The Holy Spirit that indwells me reminds me that no matter where I am and what I face, I'm never alone. And I'm never going to face it alone. When I call out to God in prayer, He always has time to hear me and to respond to my need. Listen, as I think about singing and as I think about worship tonight, the one thing I want God to know is that I am truly grateful, realizing without Him, I would not exist. That's why we worship. That's the invitation that the psalmist wrote here. Oh, come, let us worship. Further reason to worship. Verse 1. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. My friends, that word rock, it's not just a rock. We think of rocks as a gravel road. That word rock, it's a large cliff or a big foundation type stone. And it's talking about the safety and the security that can only be found in God. The only thing that we have in this world that cannot be taken from us is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's going to follow us throughout eternity. Riches will fail, health will fail, but God will never fail. You know, as I saw, and the awesome thing about our God, when I thought about that phrase, the rock of our salvation, I'm of course reminded of the security of the salvation that I have, but I also was reminded of the depth in Jesus Christ. Beth and I were cleaning out a flower bed or removing a flower bed a short time ago. we decided that flower bed didn't really need to, well, Beth decided that flower bed didn't really need to be there. And so we began to pick up the stones that had surrounded that flower bed, and Beth had worked hard and pulled up monkey grass and all that. And we got, and she found this rock, and it was sticking up about that far above the ground. And I thought, no big deal. I'll pick it up and carry it. But I tried to pick it up and it wouldn't budge. So I said, no big deal. It's just the dirt around it's got it, has got it wedged in there, so I can't pick it up. And so I started to dig around it. And you know, the farther that I dug, the bigger that rock got. I still do not know how big that rock is. The deeper I'd go, the wider that thing would get, till finally I just gave up. But that came to mind when I thought about my relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know it's not a surface relationship? It's not something that, yeah, Jesus is my Savior. Do you realize the depth of a relationship in Jesus Christ? I have not found how deep it goes yet. The more I study, the more I pray, the more I learn to depend upon Jesus, the deeper that relationship grows. And the more I learn about Jesus, the more I realize how infinite His knowledge is. It's one of those, the more I study, the more I realize how much I do not know. That's our Savior. There's no one that's bigger than He is. The longer I walk with God, the longer I walk in Jesus, the more I realize I've just scratched the surface. And I want more. How about you? You know, not only is He the rock of our salvation. Verse 3 says He is the Lord is a great God and the King above all gods. That word great, it means in magnitude or to extent. He's the King. The God of all gods. There is no other God, and there is no one like Him. There is no one or nothing that can take His place. You know, the world is always looking for the next great thing. You get very excited about iPhones when the next iPhone comes out. The next big computer that comes out. The next year model cars, and we get all excited about these next big thing. But you know, the biggest thing of all has always been here. And that's Jesus Christ. He was there and He spoke this world into existence. And what I've discovered about Jesus is I have no problem that's too big. No problem that's too small. That He can't solve at all. That there's not an issue in my life that He can't handle. But I'm sure of this one fact. I can't do it alone. I need Jesus. And Jesus has never let me down. Oh, there's been some rough times. How about you? There's been some times I thought, whoa, you know, I can't do this anymore. I don't know how much farther I can go. But Jesus has never taken me beyond what He couldn't carry me through. You know, He's a great God. Not only is He a great God, He's the Lord of creation. If you look in verse 4, in His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry lands. The deep places of the earth, that phrase, deep places, in the Hebrew, it means the range to be explored. Have you ever explored new places and just thought, wow, this has to be a God thing? There's no one else that could create anything as beautiful as this. The mountains, it says, are His. Have you ever went to a mountain range like in Tennessee and Knoxville over there in the Smoky Mountains? And don't you just sit there and say, wow, God, You're awesome. The seas, He made it. If you ever went to the Gulf of Mexico or the California coast or the Atlantic on the other side, have you ever just sat there and looked and think, wow, that's a lot of water. Do you ever drive down Highway 7 and just see the beauty and stop and say, God, you're awesome. You are a mighty God. Psalms 119:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. You know what I'm guilty of? I'm real good about when I go to a place like the Grand Canyon saying, wow, boy, God, I can see your hand there. Been to the Teton Mountains one time and I thought, wow, only you could build mountains like this, Lord. But what I'm not so good is looking at the hand of God just exactly where I am. I'm guilty of not noticing His greatness in my everyday life. I mean, I look at the greatness of things. You ever consider a tree? My yard has trees, and I like them. That tree, in the spring, puts on leaves. In the fall, it lets go of those leaves. How does it know to do that? The grass that grows. In the summer, in the springtime, it turns green and comes to life. And when it gets dry and the drought hits, it turns brown. But it doesn't die. Because the first rain that happens, it turns green again and you got to mow. How does it know to do that? How does it know in the winter? And you can give me the science of it all and you say, well, it's all a matter of the length of the day and all that. No, it's a matter of God programmed it all. You know, sometimes I forget to say, I forget to stop and just say, thank you, Jesus, for the people you put in my life. Thank you, Lord, for my wife, for my staff, for the church staff, for my friends, for my fellow church members. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that sometimes I do take for granted because I don't stop and just say, praise Jesus for His marvelous grace. Tonight, I want us to just stop and worship. That's the point of the evening service. Let's just stop. Let's take a moment right now and in prayer, let's consider the blessings of our great God. Let's stop and let's thank Him. We're going to have prayer. And let's acknowledge the fact that if it were not for Him, we would not even be here. And then, let's thank Him for that. And then Brother Dale's going to come. He's going to lead us in a time of praise and worship. And I'm going to ask you to apply the things that I've shared with you in that time of praise. Can we all stand, please?